Time to talk business now with Jack Robinson. Good morning, Jack.
Morning, Steve.
Jack is editor of the Sacramento Business Journal. We talk with him on Friday mornings about the week's top business stories. It's actually been a few weeks since we've talked. You've been on vacation.
That's right. It's good to be back.
Well, even in these lazy days of summer, we saw some pretty big business deals go down this week, including a local solar energy company that got sold to a national chain.
It does seem unusually busy for a time when a lot of people are on vacation. A national solar panel installer called Solar City bought a local company called Paramount Solar, and this local company sells systems made by Solar City, so the deal has synergy, as they like to say. The company owners get $120 million, but the deal also could mean benefits for the region. Solar City says it expects to add jobs here, perhaps with a call center, as homeowners increasingly get comfortable with solar panels. And another deal worth noting is the sale of 1,200 acres in Rancho Murrieta, including two golf courses and land for homes. This was first reported by Ben Vandermeer, our real estate reporter, who says that a group of local investors acquired the land from a union pension fund.
What do you think the new owners will do with that Rancho Murrieta property? Think we could see some homes built there?
Yeah, no question, though the buyers haven't really laid out their plans. As usual, the construction will depend on the economy, but I expect the new owners will move quickly. Sacramento Bee reporter Dale Kasler this week reported one investor said that they might build a hotel on the site. Another big deal of a different kind this week was Davis entrepreneur Pam Marone ringing the bell for the opening of the NASDAQ exchange. This is kind of a ceremonial event marking the debut of Marone Bio Innovations as a publicly traded company.
Well, there is one business deal that has run into a bit of a headwind at the downtown arena. Let's talk about that a bit. The Kings are looking for help from the city to buy the Macy's store on the east end of downtown Plaza, which is needed for the sports complex.
I would be surprised if this turns into a serious obstacle. It really is just a matter of money, of course, and these kinds of real estate deals usually get resolved without any need for the city's power of eminent domain. But I will say that things could get sticky if the Kings can't build without the city legally seizing the property. A lot of business leaders in town oppose eminent domain on principle, no matter how much they might support the arena.
I heard about another business deal that has to do with a big contract to upgrade software at the state controller's office. And this comes on the heels of kind of a scathing report.
Yeah, the Senate staff report blamed the controller's office for mismanaging this project and for downplaying problems to the legislature. And this week, there was a task force that released recommendations to deal with this problem. But the bigger picture is this is a very interesting example of a trend we've seen over the last couple of years. Christopher Arnes, who covers the business of state government for us, looked into it this week, and he reports that this is one of seven giant state IT projects that have either been canceled or in trouble. The state has lost hundreds of millions of dollars on these contracts over the last few years. The controller's office case is really just the latest example.
Imagine all big governments stumble from time to time with complicated tech projects. Is California any worse than average?
You know, it depends on who you ask, but the state says it doesn't have any more trouble than others. But many tech firms that Christopher talked to said California is more bureaucratic than many other governments, even including Washington. And they say the state likes to heap a lot of requirements on the vendors and then micromanage these projects, which makes them run late and over budget. And some of the local tech firms say it doesn't help that the state likes to pick big global contractors who don't necessarily put their best people on the job.
You've also got a story in this week's issue about how one local golf course has found a way to attract younger players. What's going on there?
It's kind of funny, but it's also a kind of a serious problem for golf courses, which face growing competition, especially for young people. And one local course has jumped on a hot new trend by creating something called a foot golf course that could change all that. Foot golf, it turns out, is sort of a blend of soccer and golf. You kick a soccer ball and you try to get it into these giant cups and these giant holes on the course. Kelly Johnson, who covers this for us, said that you're supposed to wear also these outrageous Argyle socks.
Yeah. You know, Jack, I like Argyle socks. I don't pull them up over my pant leg, but, well, I mean, how's this foot golf working out? Do people want to play the game?
Apparently, it's a big hit. This is at the city's Hagen Oaks complex, which is reporting something like 20 rounds a day, and most of the players have never been to a golf course before, so it achieves the goal. It sounds like fun, too. I don't know about the socks, though.
All right, Jack, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Jack Robinson, editor of the Sacramento Business Journal. We chat with him on Fridays, and you can hear previous business roundups at capradio.org/business. I'm Steve Milne, Capital Public Radio News.